Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing, 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations, 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation, and 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Greetings, listeners around the world. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Today is April 24th, 2016. Coming live to your ear holes, Corey and I. Bring in the hot intelligence, as usual.
As usual, as typical.
Yeah, so last week, listeners, if you weren't paying attention, we touched on relationships, emotions, partnerships, a little bit on sex, and we're going to delve into sex magic, but we ran out of time. That's actually something I think we're going to touch on next week, and we will do a call-in show. Our topic this week, as we promised you last show, is the connection between homelessness and mental illness as a result of environmental conditions, and also some solutions that can be had to fix this on a grand scale. There's always a solution. It's extremely easy, and especially when there's lots of people milling around the United States, you understand, there's lots of people that are, you know, buying their food and buying coffee and doing these little tiny things every single day that's not really necessary to survive, and they're just wasting their money. I've been part of that, okay? However, the solution lies with every single person coming together, or at least a certain mass of people in a local community coming together and doing something with a specific intent. That will fix it. In most problems, it will fix it. It's just getting the people together that's the hard part. And Corey, I know that you know what I'm talking about in that point.
Yeah, I think it's a relatively, I think the tipping point is rather small as far as percentages of people, you know, maybe 2% of the population, if they really get on, can change things a great deal. And yeah, they're putting up a lot of flack, of course, and distraction and all kinds of other shit. But I think we're making headway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm super excited to talk about this and bring this to light. I hope a lot of other people can gain some value from our conversations regarding the homeless topic. I myself, for a point in my life, had been homeless for about 6 months, and I experienced exactly what an environment can do to you. Not only in jail, I've been in jail as well, and the jail environment does sort of the same thing on an accelerated pace. But the environmental conditions that you're surrounding yourself with will actually have an effect on your DNA and start to affect your DNA over time. And I'm sure if you were to Google stuff like this, you would find many, many different topics and many different research studies that have been done, a lot of them in Russia and Ukraine, regarding sleep deprivation, environmental conditions for prisoners, all these different types of things that actually result in physical harm to the person if continued long enough. Okay. Now, along with the physical harm is going to come a mental or a consciousness factor. The consciousness is being degraded to such a point that it's unable to maintain homeostasis in the body. Well, then you're going to have certain hormonal imbalances which lead to mental illnesses. I would say that the genetics which cause the hormonal imbalances that lead to the mental illnesses, or most of them, okay, some of them are socially caused. Basically, I would say those things are environmentally based. So the DNA from your lineage all the way back has been corrupted somehow. You know, in psychology and psychiatry, there's a lot of importance placed upon genetic predisposition or family factors. You know, even when you go to the hospital or the doctor, is there any history of mental illness in your family?
Right.
Well, great. Yeah, even if there is, why don't you find out what's causing the DNA to shift into that state to cause the hormonal imbalance to then cause the mental illness? And then when they procreate, that DNA chain and information gets passed on. Why don't we learn how to fix the DNA thing and also what caused the break or the shift or the mutation in the first place?
Oh,
that's what we really should.
That's complicated. We don't want to do that. We just throw some drugs on it.
So, and you know, and so you can say, well, you know, not all people that became homeless were sane first, and you know, lots of people are mentally ill. Well, yeah, that's great, but I'm saying that the environmental factors started wherever that person came from, started that mental illness. Whether that was them directly or their lineage down the line, you know, years and years ago, environmental factors are responsible. What I mean by that is toxic air, toxic water, toxic food, social pressure and conditioning, constant bombardment of negative, nasty things, ideas like war and famine and disease being thrown in your face all the time. It has an effect, not only a docile effect on the general population of hopelessness or what can I do as a single person, but you also have this physical effect, okay? So that's what I'm saying. And so even somebody who's predisposition or has these genetic factors already who becomes homeless, the environment that they are degraded into, it's still going to exacerbate their symptoms, whatever they may be. And that's really important when you look at factors like food and water and the scarcity thereof or the source thereof, where they're getting these things. So that's not only going to add to their body burden, but it's going to affect the hormonal imbalances and so on and so forth. So it's like this vicious cycle of homelessness and mental disease. Make sense?
Right.
And then on top of that, now they're being targeted. Dallas is targeting the tent cities, and a lot of other cities have these homeless initiatives that are nothing more than just an eradication of the public view of the homeless problem. And you've got these people that are just being taken away to who the fuck knows where. And most of them, you know, there's some independent researchers that are saying that most of these guys are not coming back. So whether that's genetic experimentation, if they're just locked up in a jail somewhere, whatever the case may be, the fact is they're being held against their will if they're not coming back, you understand? And what is really happening to these people? You know, are they being moved around? Are they being imprisoned? Are they being killed? Are they being sequestered somewhere in an underground base? Because we know that shit happens too. Look at all the missing children on the milk cartons. You think they just go missing from lots of rapists and stuff like that? Yes, rape happens. Yes, serial killers happen. But these are very few and far between instances. The prevalence of missing children speaks to black ops procedures and hybridization programs and stuff like that.
And
call me crazy if you want, but I'll tell you I don't give a fuck because I've done my research and a lot of smart people have done their research and that seems to be pointing towards what's going on.
Yeah,
so
I would correlate that.
Yeah,
there seems to be a lot of for the missing children ritual abuse.
That's right. ritual sacrifice to keep the negative energetics and the system of, you know, higher order interdimensional entities fed, you know, and happy.
Right. Right.
Gigantic human farm.
It's a farm. It's a giant farm.
And you can start farming yourself or you can be farmed. It's up to you, man.
One or the other. So
what do you think, Corey? Like, what do you think's going on? I know you have a big homeless problem in Tucson, but it seems to be an inflow for some reason, like an influx.
Yeah, right? I mean, I the obvious thing for me is that somehow folks, it's hard to be homeless in difficult climates, okay? So you don't want to be homeless in the winter, or you don't want to be homeless where in a place where it's cold in the winter. So
definitely
so whether people are just finding their way down to warmer climates, and as you mentioned, specifically Tucson, I think there's some evidence of that. I also have heard and seen some articles and things which I probably couldn't cite right now, where they're clearly moving people around to different locations. Like, I used to live in New York for a long time, and I remember articles in the kind of in the mainstream press where they were talking about homelessness, and there were inferences that, you know, the homeless folks were being rounded up off the streets of New York and sent to some other jurisdiction. How that was being done, what kind of relationships they had with the other jurisdictions, I don't know. Was there some financial exchange? You know, what the nature of that stuff is, I don't know. We do know that homeless people are, you know, whether they're just dying on the street or whether, as you mentioned, they're, you know, they're being moved somewhere or sequestered somewhere. It's pretty evident. You know, the details, I'm not really clear on.
Well, I totally agree that there could be a number of factors, okay? And I'll say this. I think the root cause is what needs to be addressed in all domains. We touched on that a little bit already. Mm. So regardless of what is happening, and we've offered a few hypotheses, if you will, regardless of what's happening, the root needs to be addressed if anything's going to happen, like right now, and be sustainable. And what I mean by sustainable is long-term efficiency, okay? That word gets beat like a dead horse by a lot of people. So I'll just say long-term efficiency is my definition. Now, when you look at the root of homelessness, what are you really looking at? Okay, why do you not have a home? Why do you not have food to feed yourself? Why do you not have clean water to drink? Well, it's because these things have been set on so high of a shelf that they're extremely difficult to obtain consistently in an efficient manner. You're constantly striving, constantly working, constantly doing more work, constantly doing overtime, constantly finding a second job, constantly trying to do this to just to keep up with these bills. And then, you know, you've got all these things which are benefits to distract you from your life, but really they cost money. So your cable and your Wi-Fi and your this to distract you from what you're putting yourself through is indebting you even further. Mm. Fucking kidding me.
Yeah,
no wonder, right?
And yeah, so, I mean, yeah, if you can't get food, clothes, and shelter, it's because somewhere along the line you're having difficulty making ends meet. That's the grounded, you know, the obvious one.
Yeah, and then there are ways to go around and make that an efficient part of your life and sustainable, but it takes time, effort, and knowledge, which people are not being given and not taught in the schools of how to really self-sustain and take care of yourself like people prior to 1913 or 1930s knew how to do. So essentially an unsustainable socioeconomic model, which is placed in power for positions and strategic reasonings in certain regions for profit purposes, right? You've got different state models here because there's more immigrants that live here. You've got different. So the constantly shifting face of politics is mirroring the socioeconomic factors as well. It's just all controlled from the top to extract the most wealth. So in different areas, it's going to be hardest for the different minorities in different ways, is what I'm really trying to say. So an unsustainable socioeconomic model is forcing everybody to prioritize their survival. And then to escape that, the cognitive dissonance of that, to escape it, they're actually going and running towards distractions that cost them money.
Mm. Okay?
So the unsustainable cost of living, nearly unattainable housing with lands and house costs and taxes and mortgages, it's just so fucking expensive.
Right? High unemployment.
That's right.
And then, even the fact that most people are just trained to be,
bees.
You know, for jobs, you know, the fact.
So you're not, thank you for bringing that up. On that level, you're not being paid enough to ever be able to cover consistently or ever get ahead of even your basic expenses, not only the things that you're doing on the side that we keep mentioning. Mm. So not only are you just cycling and cycling bill to bill month to month, but now you're going into debt.
Right.
I just don't understand it. So.
Yeah, just the basic, you know, just basic survival is becoming increasingly difficult. And there are also less and less support structures for it, whether that be provided by government or whether that be provided by religious institutions or whether that be provided by family, you know, the family dynamic. That's probably then one of the main factors in how people are able to survive. You know, how can they rely on or relate with people who are close to them? And so, yeah, I mean, homeless people, I would imagine there's probably a high incidence of some kind of trauma, some kind of mental illness or something like that. And that comes from all kinds of places. I would say, namely, family trauma.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you have your your everyday bullshit from the mainstream media and everybody else's bullshit opinions and conditions
foisted
upon
that.
You. There's a lot of social factors involved too. That's the other side of the coin. You know, there's a lack of caring on a general scale, a lack of empathy, a lot of class division. You know, the middle to upper classes are squeezed in various ways, right, in which they may or may not know about, and, you know, sort of threaten. And I think George Carlin actually talked about this very, very, you know, hilariously, and says they're threatened with the idea of homelessness just to make them work only so hard, you know, to keep producing, not to get down there. So the middle class and the upper class are threatened with the idea of, hey, look at those poor guys down there, right? But having never experienced it themselves, on the whole, they're extremely judgmental, and they're not compassionate at all. So because they can't place themselves in that position or feel how those people are feeling, there's no need to reach out. There's no need or incentive for most people to come together and actually solve this at the root. So this energy of not caring, right, is being tied into the child sacrifice and the rituals and all these other things that are being done energetically by these cabal puppets, if you will, for these interdimensional beings that are running this farm. It's basically being combined and then perpetuated as general negative energy across the Earth's ley lines to continue restricting or strangling human consciousness and awakening that's happening on a DNA level as a result of all these solar energies and radiations that we're being bombarded with at this time. We're going through a cycle of the universe that is meant for us to enlighten and to grow and evolve and change and all that stuff. But every single time we go through this cycle, these entities are prepared, right? And they're losing more and more power every single time. They're gatekeepers or guardians on your soul. More and more people are learning when they leave the body, if they just are very conscious and they've practiced while they're in the body, they can avoid these guardians and get straight back to source, out of the physical universe, out of, you know, into pure, what you would call pure spirit, which Carl Jung and other people call bullshit. But I do believe in pure spirit. I believe there's some sort of pure energy, some source or creator that lies without. We talked about this in the void or the ka. Does it make sense?
Right, or lies within, depending on it.
There's a root that lies within as well, but you have to get through all the bullshit, even out of the body. So that's what I am saying, is this not caring is being, this energy is being perpetuated, amplified, and projected and combined.
It's the killing of care. It's the killing of care.
Making it cool.
Which is, right. Which is an actual... which is an actual ritual, a secret society ritual, which is actually called the killing of care. It's the sacrifice or the pretending to die or pretending to be killed in the ritual. Yep. And that's kind of, you know, if you look around, in my view, the killing of care, it's the lack of people caring, lack of empathy.
And thrown in your face every day.
And gets compounded by everything that's being thrown at us, whether it be spiritually, through the media, through the food that we eat, through our relationships, and it just, it keeps compounding. And
a hip-hop culture, I wouldn't say hip-hop because I love hip-hop, rap culture. Modern rap is fucking crap. It is bullshit. There's a few exceptions, tiny, tiny few exceptions. For the most part, everybody else, bought and paid for Satanist fucking puppets, and they're spreading this bullshit crap. It's just sick, dirty, nasty, useless, ignorant shit.
Yeah, I would apply that. I would apply that to a lot of popular culture in general. It's all about ego gratification.
That's right. And this stuff is being perpetuated not only through the media, but through these ELF towers, these cell phone towers that you see all over the place, these really nasty looking things. In Canada and in certain, like in Colorado, they mask them or disguise them as pine trees. It's the stupidest, ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Actually, I believe in New Jersey and New York as well. When you're traveling up the turnpike, you'll see them. They look like fucking pine trees, except they're metal. They've been spray painted brown, and they're fucking ELF towers. What the fuck?
Yeah, they
cell phone towers.
They just did one down here that camouflaged as a water tower.
Yeah, and you'll see them put them on the water itself, which is just horrible, because what are people doing and bathing in and cooking in and drinking is that electronically bombarded stuff. Now, if you look at Brazil, look at Mexico. Look at Mexico and look up a cell phone tower array in Mexico. And you'll see what a cell phone tower really looks like. And they have some of the best service in most places. Now, I could be wrong in certain areas because of the mountains and regions like that. But in most cases, the service is adequate or above suffice with these types of towers. Why the hell do you need these aggressive, compact, extremely powerful output towers unless you're really using them for other purposes? And they're used to accelerate the chemtrailing in certain local regions and stuff like that, which is being exacerbated and accelerated on a 2016 scale. So they're just ramping it up right now.
Smart meters.
That's right. So all of this stuff is combining for this not carrying energy, okay? And, you know, they got pharmaceuticals, small parts of pharmaceuticals in the water that are being left intentionally and not filtered, and fluoride and all this stuff, which are contributing to mass indifference to other domains. But when it does come to the homeless, right, I think there's an aspect of denial. These people are having denial factors in their life. The middle class and the upper class are like, there can't possibly be a homeless problem because that means there's something wrong with this country. Well, people are going to have to, Corey, you're just going to have to wake up to the fact that the United States has been circling the fucking toilet bowl for years, right? While these people have been pilfering and infiltrating and extracting wealth and propping up the stock market, getting everybody in there, and then boom, crashing it, and then stocking it up, and then crashing it, and then pumping it up again, pumping it up, and then crashing, and all these things, right? And people are either clueless, which is the case on a genetic level. You know, they've been so dumbed down, they can't get it, or they're in denial. And so they're not willing to address the root of homelessness. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the root of mental disease. Okay. What I believe, in my opinion, is the root of mental disease, having seen this in certain family members, having seen this in close friends, and actually having witnessed a extremely mentally ill person completely heal themselves to a state where they were rational, they were not having episodes anymore, and this was done all without medication, and it was done with diet change. This is not obviously the case for every single person. There's exceptions to every rule. However, I'm a firm believer that it can be done. So we're going to talk about it when we get back, and we'll see you soon.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, guys, welcome back. If you're just joining us on this episode of Piercing the Veil, we're talking about homelessness, the root of it, certain factors that are causing indifference in the general population, and how this not caring energy, if you will, has been perpetuated to put people in a state of denial. Okay, so we also said that we're going to speak about how homelessness and mental illness correlate with each other. Whether they start out as mentally ill before they become homeless, or whether because of the environmental conditions that they're slowly degraded into that state, whatever range or type of mental illness that might be, it doesn't matter. It's all something that can be addressed at the root. So when we speak about mental disease, for the general whole of mental illnesses that I'm aware of, I believe that they are genetically linked, because the DNA is the controller of all different types of functions of the body. That's a given. Everybody knows that. And then it controls the hormonal outputs. Okay. So not only is the hormone or the endocrine system controlled by genetics, but it's also controlled by environmental factors, which is called epigenetics, how your environment affects the way that your organs and your system functions. And if your system continues to function that way for such a long time, then your DNA is naturally going to resonate or shift into that function, right? The DNA can change. It's electromagnetic. There's a wave in the center of the double helix that's expanding and causing it to expand and spiral and twist, okay? And so what I'm saying is that there's not only are there locks, we spoke about this in previous episodes, not only are there locks on the DNA that are through genetics, it locks the hormonal output of the endocrine system in such a way that you can't access your plasma vortices or your chakras, if you will, to the full extent, even if you're a yogi master, until you break a certain point. But also, the environment that we're living in with chemtrails and fluoride in the water and the toxic GMO food and so on and so forth is hitting us from the epigenetic side. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have to address in yourself and be willing to shift energetically, but changing the diet and what you're putting into your body and what's happening to you with your body and your environment is important as well. And if people can make that commitment or be assisted in such a way to where they can make that commitment easily and consistently, then you've addressed the root of not only homelessness, but mental illness as well. Mm. Because it's not hard to have a center or a large place to do this. Okay. Mm. So what I'm saying is the genetic factors that everybody talks about are basically irrelevant because something is changing the genetics and we have ultimate control energetically over what our DNA does. So by removing the proximity of the things that are causing the epigenetic factors, which what I mean is toxic food, air, and water, by removing that from the body and then energetically meditating and focusing and intending to heal thyself, you can get to the root of any mental disease. And for that matter, any physical ailment or any physical situation or reality situation or life situation or something like that that you're dealing with. Does that make sense, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, just the stresses of modern living.
That's right.
Psychological, spiritual, environmental, food, physical toxicity, energetic toxicity, all those things. If you can get clean, if you can, you know, the fast, you know, if you can clean out your gross matter, your denser energies, then you're well on your way to being able to solve other stuff. I would think that most mental problems or emotional problems, psychological problems, mental illness, what have you, I think they could be pretty much addressed by what we put into the body and, more importantly, what we take out of the body. You know, that's a huge first step. Right.
Absolutely.
How can you even begin to analyze, you know, where you're at and what's going on in the world on a mental level, right? To be able to conceive of what's going on, let alone make adjustments for it. If you're physically toxic, you know, you're just not going to be able to do it.
It's exactly right. Toxicity. It's a factor of toxicity. So you have the hormonal factors, right? But most of the time, the prevalent issue at hand, and especially with schizophrenia, I'll just mention that, schizophrenia has been shown to be linked to the gut directly. Not only is the heart, the brain, and the stomach a three-brain system in the human body, but they're linked through the hormones and the endocrine system and the nervous system. Mm. The vagus nerve goes from the brain to the heart to the stomach, right? And it's responsible for digestion, all sorts of things, instinctual things like, adrenaline response, I believe. So most of the time, what I'm saying is it's a result of the diet, the sugars, the toxic GMO Monsanto wheat, the parasites, you know, all of these things that parasites are in everybody. And not only can they control what you eat or what you want to eat, but they can have control over mood swings and emotional things that you're doing as well, if you're not aware of it. So a lot of these people that have diabetes, I think that if they were to cleanse themselves in a safe way, where they're not putting their blood sugar levels in danger, whatever, and there are ways to do that, just do some basic research. If they were to do that, then their their mood swings when it came time for them to eat, or they're, you know, getting bitchy and stuff like that, and all these little factors that
the
are associated with
the cravings.
That's right, would be gone.
Right, the malnourishment. The malnourishment, right? You know, we're the fattest people on the earth are in America, and they're essentially malnourished.
They are.
And that's why they eat so much, is because their body's like, I'm not getting the nutrient level that I need. Eat more.
That's right.
Right.
So if you can eliminate those factors, the diet, the sugar, the toxic wheat, or have centers where people that are not able to efficiently provide for themselves with money or things like that, where they could be assisted in this. So if you're able to eliminate these things, it will cause, and I've seen it cause personally, a substantial or cohesive shift in that person, whereby the body is able to rebalance hormonally and energetically, right? Mm. To the point that drastic improvement and elimination of, you know, what we would call schizoid episodes or any other type of episode, all that stuff is seen and it's prevalent. You can see it physically as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So just to wrap it up, you know, mental illness is a result of genetic predisposition, right? But that's environmentally caused. And then also most of the stuff that's happening in real time is because of diet.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, ancient cultures, in the Bible, in the Eastern religions, you know, the two-pronged way to a healthful existence on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, is basically fasting and prayer. And if your body's toxic, you need to fast, because then you won't even be able to pray or to meditate or to concentrate. So fasting and prayer.
I absolutely agree. As long as you're praying within.
Yeah.
And it's done with intent. And why is it such a hard concept for people to realize that not only are you God and connected to God, but you can ask yourself for things? It's not that fucking hard, man. You right. do it all the time. Hey, do I want to get up and do this? Hey, do I really want to go to work today? Hey, do I want to go drink this or drink that? Hey, do I want to eat this or eat that? Constantly you're doing it. Mm. So why don't you ask yourself about important shit and pray for it?
Mm.
See what happens. It's not sacrilegious, because you are the source.
Mm.
You're connected. Everybody is. You're individual, but you're also connected. I don't want to beat that dead horse. Oh, we are all one. That's counterintelligence. That passive, that uber passive new agey shit is counterintelligence. It's just to keep you from learning how to do anything for yourself in the body, so that when you leave, you'll get harvested and fed off of or re-put into another body on this planet, and your soul energy will be used to feed interdimensional entities to sustain their life and their ways of life. So you want to do that?
Even to me, to this day, it sounds crazy, but it's real.
Absolutely. You know, if you're not willing to accept it, or not willing to look at it, or not willing to research it and see that all the ancient texts, whether it's the Vedas from India or the Gnostic texts from the mystery schools or the Atlantean and Toth and Egyptian texts and pictographs, if you're not willing to look at that, well, then remain in your denial state. More power to you. I'm, you know, basically, if anybody's listening that's not willing to listen to these types of concepts, or not willing to really research them, or if somehow this gets to any listener that is not awake, I'll say this. I'm making an agreement. If you're willing, instead of giving your energy up when you die to those people, you get to keep it. Just give me a little bit of it while I'm out of the body. And we'll go from there. And I'll you know, I'm not going to spend my time or energy assisting you to, you know, not be eaten again, but I'll at least give you a little bit of, you know, a shield or protection to the extent that I can. Because I've learned these things. You know, I've learned that a single person can send enough energy out to the entire universe and still have enough for themselves to affect every molecule in the physical universe.
It's unlimited.
It's unlimited. It's nothing, it's everything, it's something. So I'm willing to make that agreement to take away from the power structure, if possible, in any way I can. You see, and it's little things like this that if more people were doing and thinking about and creating these little mental things in their mind without getting crazy or egotistical with it, But for the whole or the better good or the evolution of spirits in this region, well, then we wouldn't have our problems today. So I that might be a little convoluted for some people to understand, but if you just listen to the radio show and the episode again and again until you get what I just said, because it's extremely potent and powerful. And if you can start doing that with anybody else who's unawake or unconscious, then you can just have every interaction be valuable, and you don't have to walk around with all these zombies and sheeple and just see it as a loss. You can speak to them without even talking to them physically. Just speak to their soul. Hey, is it okay with you that when you leave, you give me a little bit of your energy, and then I'll return it to you in the form of protection, and you know, you can keep your individual persona, who you are as a person, instead of being fucking reassimilated and eaten by these interdimensional entities. And oh, by the way, I'm not making any guarantees, because this shit's pretty strong. You know, they've got some powerful entities trapped in this system. Right? Jesus, Buddha, Sanan, all these other people that actually made it out. You understand? Baba G. All these things. That implies, you know, a lot of people as to the, you know, the power of the individual.
So, yeah, my interesting. My mom has this thing where she just, like, you know, routinely, and I've taken it on, but she's just like, she wakes up in the morning and she says, how can I operate in life in terms of how I treat myself and other people with as much love as possible? That's the morning. That's the morning wake up thing. All right, I'm up. I have my cup of coffee, and whether you drink coffee or not, how can I do better here? How can I love myself and others better? Simple request.
Yeah.
Put it out there with intention, and you know, even that's difficult. Even that's difficult, because you got to have empathy to do that. You have to have the awareness that you can make a difference as an individual,
and that's why I made that agreement just now. And I've been doing that, you know, so that I can take all the lack of empathy, the energetics of lack of empathy from all these asleep people or unwilling people to, you know, to investigate or change, take all of that and utilize it so that every time I have an idea, a concept, or an expenditure of my physical energy to assist with the roots of these problems, I'm taking on their energy to help as well. So it's literally an energetic factor. It's how much do you want it? If you look at a UFC fight, two guys that are evenly matched, anything that's evenly matched or in equilibrium, but somehow one wins over the other, there was more conscious intent in one than the other. It wasn't a matter of physicality. You understand?
It's mind. Yeah.
Again, so that's why I'm taking the energy. Yeah. And so, you know, and it's a prevalent thing, this homelessness issue, Corey. Not necessarily just the mental illness, but the homelessness issue. Because look at, you know, these people that used to be corporate executives, or people that used to have a house, or people that used to have this or that, that literally got foreclosed on before they knew what was happening. And now they're on the street. What do I do? The money for the hotel ran out. Family support ran out. Now I'm homeless. I'm literally here and forced to experience this. So it is affecting a large range of people. And the solution is this. This is one of the solutions. Corey, how many people would you say, if you've ever looked at a Starbucks, how many people would you say go through Starbucks drive-thru in an hour?
Oh, in an hour?
Yeah.
At least 30.
At least, let's say 50 in a busy location, at least 50.
Okay.
Okay. So 24 hours, every 2 hours, that's 100 people. Every 12 hours, that's what?
1,200 people.
1,200 people. Okay. So times $2.
Two? You can't get nothing at Starbucks for $2.
No. $2 out of every transaction.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's just a low number I'm using. Times two. Yeah. So that's $2,400 every day at every location across the world. Okay? Now, if they just did this for one day, imagine the profits that could be used towards solving roots of problems. Right. So little things like this, and petitioning these companies to do stuff like this, and getting a group of people in your community together to the point where they're sort of like morally forced to do it, right? So many people asking them to do it. And giving them some sort of incentive or creating a solution for them as well. Like, okay, well, everybody loves Starbucks now because they're doing this, so more people come to Starbucks, right? It's a win-win. So if $2 for a month out of every transaction from all those places were collected, and then they went and targeted whoever's making this happen, somebody who's willing to put an investor group together or an action group together, just like a political action group, right? If they went and targeted the biggest cities that have homeless problems, that's like Albuquerque, New Mexico is probably the number one place. Dallas is pretty bad too. And just targeted just those big cities first. And what if they took those funds and made some sort of a center, right, where they could have staff, you know, that's trained, and they could train other homeless people who have the capability or skills, or, you know, that need to be healed first. They could heal them. You know, there could be a healing center. But those people could run things. They could live. They could eat for free. They could produce items of value. They could do administration calls for the county or something and save the county millions of dollars a year so that county could do something. Does that make sense? You could even do stuff like in a place like that where these guys are walking and running around and living every single day and eating and all that stuff. Make the floor piezoelectric. Why the fuck not? Clubs, dance clubs in Europe are doing it. And just tie that back into the grid, and that feeds electricity back to, you know, the local community or the people that donated and helped make make this a possibility. Maybe they get a credit on their electricity bill every month, or maybe it goes back to the city, right? You understand? Or the products produced there are available to the local community. So it's like a place where you just embrace the problem. There's a bunch of fucking people that need a place to stay and need food and need water. Well, fuck it. Let's build it for them. Not only will it show other people a solution, but it will show other people that it's possible for a community to live and sustain all their needs without having to have traditional jobs or traditional this or mortgages, so on and so forth.
And I'd go so far as to say that, you know, you can get a definitive economic benefit from it.
Yeah, so you know? I wasn't going to go there, but
I mean,
solve the problem, but you make tons of profits for whoever is there to scoop it up. I didn't want to say that, but that's also a result. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it remains to be seen.
Yeah. I mean, like Bloomberg, right? All right. He shut down the smoking in the bars, right? Smoking in public, smoking in buildings. And then he went so far as to, I don't know if he was successful at it when he was the mayor of New York, but regulating the size of soft drinks and stuff like that. Now, is the guy just a, you know, is he a good Samaritan and he just wants people to be healthy just because it's the right thing to do? No. He's a billionaire and he ran the numbers, right? And he figured out that smoking related illnesses, right? Commercial smoke, which is basically radioactive, right? Commercial cigarettes, which is the main reason, in my view, why it causes cancer.
Poison, toxic, arsenic.
Yeah. And, you know, and the sugary drinks and all that other stuff. But he made that decision based on the fact that it was going to cost the city 10, 20 years down the road in healthcare costs and lack of productivity, right? So I'm just thinking, and you know, those were economic considerations.
Yeah, and again, see, that's the thing. They're like, oh, well, see, he's such a good guy, and he blah, blah. No. All politicians, for the most part, are fucking assholes, okay? That's not defaming them or anything like that. They, at some point, you can just see in their speech that they're fucking lying. And if anybody wants to challenge me on that, sue me.
Okay? And they're bean counters.
Yeah,
they're,
so they're what I'm saying counters. Is that, yes, it will save the New York State, you know, or city, however much, over the 10, 20 years, but where do you think all that money's flowing back in? Back into their pockets somehow through certain programs or kickbacks or universities or rollback things or this or that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's doing it out of a personal motivation in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a way, if you can make doing the right thing profitable, then people will do it. And it sounds fucked up to say that, but you know, basically you got to appeal to people's greed. You can get people to do the right thing by appealing to their greed. You know, and that's kind of like, you know, that's like a Sun Tzu, you know, art of war type tactic. You know, it's, you know,
you gotta appeal to people's fear, self-interest, greed, and there are ways to do that which actually helps them and helps society.
Yeah, and all that leads to solutions. Okay, so again, we just provided one badass solution that anybody across the world can go to Starbucks or any other company that they think this would work with, or even a tiny little mom and pop place, right? Mm-hmm. You can do this anywhere. So that's a solution. You can also get an investor group together, purchase some land and do it yourself, right? Start building sustainable houses in places and instead of tent cities and charge a nominal rent, maybe charge like $20 or something. I don't know. Solutions to mental illness now, all right? Mm-hmm. You can incorporate or integrate those in those same centers. Why not have a food detoxing and water detoxing cleansing program for these people, right? Mm-hmm. And then have record and log the progress. This person was extremely schizophrenic. They were diagnosed with this, this, and that. They were put on a food detoxing, water cleansing diet for 30 days. And mm-hmm. just with the diet change, look how much they improved. Now, they still have this paranoia factor or something like that. So then let's move on to healing music or, you know, healing hypnosis or psychedelics that are being used to heal these people, right? Or teaching them how to play music. You understand? Mm-hmm. There's all these different fucking solutions that are proven to work better than any pharmaceutical or any type of traditional psychoanalysis, okay? And now, speaking of psychoanalysis, I will say one thing for psychiatry, even though I believe it to be a sham crap science. I will say that analyzing and getting to the root cause, the way they go about it is fucking bullshit. But getting to the root cause of things is the solution for most stuff. So what about this, Corey? Get all the Reiki masters in the state or the county together. Somehow, through a public service announcement or radio ads or whatever you got to do, it's possible. Mm-hmm. No excuses. I might do this as soon as I have my cash from some of my settlements, right? Mm-hmm. Get them together and have every month heal the homeless and mentally ill day, wherever they're at, right? And keep doing that until you actually see physical noticeable improvements in the publicly state-level reported statistics, right? Or have some sort of system of independent monitoring at these different shelters and see if the levels of homeless shelters drop, the people that are, you know, inpatients there or mental illness, so on and so forth, right? I bet you it would.
I bet it would too, you know, and I think we're getting to the point where those people who are in positions of power, right, who might be on the fence, right, those well-meaning folks who are maybe still realize that they're being sucked into a predominantly corrupt system, but they're still well-meaning. They're not completely corrupted yet. And I know there's a lot of those people out there. You know, there's a lot of people who are well-intentioned but are maybe not so well-informed. Those folks, and I think there's a lot of it going on. There's a lot of questions being asked and a lot of, you know, how we go about operating systemically or individually or in family units or what have you. A lot of questions are being asked right now. So one thing that makes me optimistic. I always try to stay optimistic. But the one thing that's very clear, I mean, you even see it in a guy like Trump or Bernie Sanders, even being in the crazy political race or whatever. You know, at the very least, people are starting to ask questions. They're starting to question the status quo at the very least, you know. And so As long as that continues to happen, in my view, then there's the possibility for progress to be made.
No, yeah, definitely.
It's a steep climb. It's a steep climb because there are definitely forces that are at work that would try to obfuscate those kinds of efforts at every turn through every possible means.
Yeah, but, it's a lack of knowledge, Corey. Or a lack of capability of understanding genetically, you know, just so dumbed down and regraded or retrograded in the DNA, right. you're just unable to conceive of these certain concepts. It's an unfortunate thing, but again, you know, for our listeners that didn't listen to the first show, Corey and I have known each other for years. We went through a commerce course together called Mastery in Commerce, which was, for lack of a better term, was basically a farce. But we did learn a few concepts that we already knew about that already existed. And one of those, Corey, if you remember, was the conditional acceptance. If you're mm-hmm. going to, then I will. If you're mm-hmm. going to take me to the store, then I will pay you $5. If you're going to harm my body, then I will sue you. You know, these types of things that can range to any situation. And what I mentioned before about making an agreement with the unconscious sheeple or any person I come across or any person that hears my words that is unwilling to investigate, if those people on a soul level, they might not agree in the body, but on a soul level, if their oversoul or whatever root of the source is still there and exists, mm-hmm. if it agrees, okay, I'm going to continue to operate like an unconscious sheep and continue to contribute to all the nasty death and ritual sacrifice and bad energetics and horror and war and famine and disease and all of this on the earth. I'll contribute to it because my energy is being recycled into that system every time I leave the body, and I just keep coming back as a puppet over and over. If I'm going to do that, then I agree that you can take some of my energy for your efforts to counter that. It makes sense? Conditional acceptance.
It's a win-win, in a way.
I'm not trying to make you all change.
Right, right.
I'm just going to do what I want, and you're going to help if you agree to it.
Right, right.
And what aspect of source is not going to agree to that? Does that make sense?
Right, even though they're not conscious of it.
Conscious in the body of it. Or vehemently opposed to the idea of it in the body. Well, you know, too bad. You're still a consciousness, and that's connected to the source.
There's still some light in there, I can tell.
Might be an exception out there. Like, Jordan, you piss my ass, right? Well, right. You know, good for you, man. You know, whatever entity you are now, right? But as far as I'm concerned, if you're a sheeple, you're helping me. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Right.
All right. I said that next week was going to be about sex and sex magic. We would follow up on that and do a call-in show. I'm still thinking about doing a call-in show, but I've changed my mind. Corey, I think you're really going to like this. I want to talk about alternative energy, mm-hmm. hydrogen technologies, motionless energy generators, magnetics, mm-hmm. Thomas mm-hmm. Bearden, John Bedini, Stanley Myers, Edgar mm-hmm. Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Have call-ins and questions. Perhaps we'll get somebody who knows a certain thing about, you know, disturbing the local vacuum to produce energetic effects. We're going to talk about energy, free mm-hmm. energy, how to get it, misconceptions, you know, preconceived ideas, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Save the sex and sex magic for the week after, perhaps.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah, I'm with that because that's one of those energy use on the planet is one of those things that's kind of obviously having detrimental effects on people and the atmosphere and the environment and what they consume and the water and the air and the food. But it's the everything requires energy, you know, human activity, everything requires energy. And it's pretty much locked down, and it's a very in the realms of possibility, in the frequency range of possibility, we're really operating on a very small, narrow spectrum of possibility when it comes to energy.
That's right. And it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I constantly have I told you I don't have dreams. Okay. I'm busy doing stuff when I go to sleep, I guess. I don't know. I don't have dreams. But what I do have while I'm awake is conscious visions and pictures and ideas and concepts that just flow into my brain. Mm. And one of those, and I'll put this into the world for anybody who's listening or ever listens to this, if you've got any sort of clue or inkling on how to do something like I'm about to describe to you, please contact me. I want to use crystals, and sort of like an electret is made. Mm. I want to make a permanent magnet by coating or doping the crystal in a certain magnetic substance and making a permanent resonant magnet so that the crystals are unique magnetic fields, which are so unique from one another that they don't interfere with another unique magnetic field, so that both magnetic fields can be utilized in some sort of machine in close proximity or quarters with each other without having to shield. It's like a self-frequency shielding. And so things like, instead of an axle and a wheel, you could have two magnetic wheels within wheels, and one of them's controlling the rotation, and the other is just the one that makes the physical contact with the tire and the ground, or what have you. You understand? And now you're sort of leveling up the game into flying cars and going into different things like that. There's plenty of applications I could see use for. And then integration with plasma physics and plasma technology and you know, anti-gravitics and stuff like that, I think is real important. So unique magnetic fields that don't need to be shielded and don't interact with each other and don't have a typical physical reaction with one another. I know it's possible. I see it happen in the universe with quasars and stuff like that all the time, with, you know, certain amounts of levels of energy that are just so strong that it's just normal physics don't apply. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So anybody that's listening, if you have any idea or inkling on how to make that happen, get in contact with me, and it's very easy to do so. So, listeners, thank you very much. If you're listening from PLAG, if you heard about us on PLAG, thank you there. You guys are awesome. We're going to continue to PLAG every single week. And any other listener that found us, please continue to do so. And if you have any questions on any of our call-in shows, those will be announced the week before, like I'm doing right now. Next week will be about alternative energy, and you can call into the show. And that call-in number will be given at the beginning of that show. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, world. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, Jordan.
We'll see you next week.
Peace.